For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world, from the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sometimes the world looks like you ain't ever seen it before. Stuck behind never-ending windows, all you need is a door. Searching for something to put a smile back on your face. Just remembering unusual times that can come from an unusual place. You need a partner for the ride. Cause everybody needs a Clyde. So set your worries to the side. Just ask, say the word and I'll be there. Just ask, you know the greatest things in life all come in a pair. They say hindsight's 20/20, but that ain't far enough. Pretend I got a hand I can lend. Cause when you really need a friend, just ask. Shit 90 Shows taught me.
Shit 90 Shows taught me was not filmed before a live studio audience.
Are you ready to slay another day? So are we. Welcome back to Shit 90 Shows taught me. I'm Jess Sterling here with my co-host Sarah Ferguson. Sarah, how are you?
Jess, I just got out of the hospital. It was a horrible illness of terrible episode of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I've barely recovered. I'm feeling better though.
Yeah, I have to say this one was fine. Like it wasn't offensive.
No,
but it
not
was just
offensive.
Fine, I would say.
I would say it's a waste of my life, but
that's well then. It's more so our friend and everyone else's, Todd the Librarian, did let us know that apparently this was originally a script written for season one. Uh-huh. And then they updated it, obviously, because we have Cordelia and Xander dating and all of the other things. But they updated it for season two. But it feels like a season one episode. Like it has that energy.
Yeah, I feel that makes a lot of sense. I can definitely see that. And as we all know, I don't really have a problem with Monster of the Week episodes. It's just that I kind of feel like we did this already.
Yes. Okay. I was going to say the same thing. Like we have the sick kid in the hospital, like people mm-hmm. are attacking him. Like we've kind of been here, done that. And obviously, I am not a horror expert. We would have to talk to our friend Todd. But like, is this not just Freddy Krueger? Like, is that what we're doing here? Because it feels like it's just Freddy Krueger.
Well, Freddy Krueger, I think, haunts you in your nightmares and then like kills you. I think that there's actually a dream element, which I know for a fact that we got last season, which is kind of the episode that I'm referring to. So but yeah, this is, it just feels so familiar. The monster definitely kind of looks like Freddy Krueger-ish.
Right.
I don't know. I just was like, whatever, whatever. And I think like what this show does so brilliantly at times is setting up those like little breadcrumbs. And then when you get the full loaf, eventually it's like very rewarding. If Buffy
had mentioned her cousin that died and that trauma, which I do find interesting. I think that any backstory, especially from childhood, I think is really interesting. If they set the scene, then I think I would have been a little bit more compelled. But they're like, oh, yes, don't you know there is a cousin that has died when they were a child and Buffy was there. And it's like a huge like character building or like a character, like a huge moment in her life that has affected her and who she is today. And I just wish that like I forget what the kid that her cousin's name was. Olivia. No.
Does it matter? She's
not
coming back. So.
She's dead.
She's not coming back.
So I kind of just wish that it probably would have just been much more interesting, rewarding if we got a little bit of that. But it's fine. It's fine. We'll talk it out and then we'll like not really have to talk about it again.
Yeah, I just think this is, you know, we run into this a lot with shows from back in the day, back in the 90s. They have like a 20 some odd episode order and there's gonna be filler. There's gonna be fluff. Mm-hmm. I think if you were to recreate Buffy nowadays and you were looking at like maybe a 10 or 15 episode season, this is an easy cut. This episode is gone. It does not exist. And it's fine. Like there's some elements I liked, which we'll get into, you know, Buffy sort of grieving and that possibly being one of the root causes of this like mysterious illness that she gets and kind of dealing with the aftermath of Miss Callender's death and all of that. I did like that. But yeah, ultimately, it just feels like a little bit of a silly monster of the week sort of thing when we're getting towards the end of the season. I want more progression. But let's chat about it. Season 2, episode 18, Killed by Death, which I still maintain is a stupid title, but like, because it's death is the Grim Reaper. It's still a dumb title, in my opinion. But Buffy is struggling here. She's trying to do her Slayer duties, and the Scoobies are helping because Buffy is sick. And the thing is, Sarah, I don't think they ever really say what she's sick with. So she ends up in the hospital. Is it like dehydration, like exhaustion?
I just thought it was some sort of flu, honestly. Mm-hmm. It was something that the other kids had too. I was thinking like Buffy got like hand, foot, mouth disease or something, like a kid illness. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I don't know how, but like everybody's kid gets so sick from like school and daycare. All of my friends like
have grimy.
All my friends are like constantly ill because of their children that's in daycare. And it's like, oh, like baby got another ear infection, her like 10th of the week. And it's like, oh God. So I was like, how did Buffy get like kid illness? And then my headcanon was like, yeah, she got like either chicken pox or like hand, foot, mouth or like some sort of kid disease that she, cause she said that she got the same thing as the little boy that was drawing her pictures. So
it was unexplained.
I don't know any other kid diseases, but
yeah, I was thinking like flu, you know, whatever, but she's struggling and the Scoobies are around to help. But Angel is going to take advantage of a sick Buffy. They get into a little bit of a scrap. Thankfully, all of the Scoobies have their wooden crosses at the ready to ward off Angel.
Yeah.
And Angelus.
One and the same person for the billionth time, but sure.
Yes, but I know the fans, like, they use a distinction. So I'm trying to be one of them, you know? We're mm-hmm. a part of the fandom now, Sarah. We're supposed to be good at this.
Okay. I think, I don't know. Okay. Yeah. You know what would be great if Buffy had the union and got some sick time so that
she
can call in her friend Kendra.
Girl some PTO stat.
Yeah. Kendra can take over for a couple of days while Buffy rests up. You know, the union is still not thriving. They still have to do a debate or not a debate. A protest, a peaceful protest.
Maybe not to do a sit-in a la Felicity for Buffy's rights as a Slayer. She deserves sick time, paid sick time. How is she supposed to go on like this? No wonder she got sick. I'm run down by her schedule. She's definitely going to be run down by her schedule.
She is certainly run down. Poor Buffy.
Yeah, she ends up in the hospital as a result. She like faints and the Scoobies bring her to the hospital. And Willow says she thinks it's the flu, like they need help, they need help. And an unconscious Buffy gets taken behind those elusive doors that you're not allowed to step foot behind unless you're a patient or a doctor.
Family only.
Mm-hmm. And they say she also possibly has fractures, which is interesting, Sarah, because I wonder if this is like if when Buffy gets sick, does she lose some of her kind of resiliency, a little bit of her super strength, if you will? You know, does she become a little bit more human in that way?
I don't know. I think that maybe it's just one of those things. I'm sorry for like our male listeners that think periods are squeamish, but
you know, I'd like them to have to experience one and then come talk to me about it.
Okay. So like I always get like sick when I have my period or like an infection or something, and it's because like your body is like working overtime, so your immune system is weakened. So maybe it is something like that. Obviously she heals really quickly, so she still has that like super healing, super strength. Like her body is stronger than the average teenagers, so it didn't last long. I didn't really like think too much into the breaking. I just thought it was really cool later in the episode when the doctor was like, oh wow, like you're like all healed up, it only took like a matter of 24 hours, because she's like super healing, she's like Wolverine.
I agree. Like I am very into finding out exactly how this all works, right? Like it's fascinating to me that yes, she has super healing, but also when she's ill, it seems like she possibly, because I feel like we've seen her get into those sorts of fights all the time, the kicky punchy fights, and she's never ended up being with a fracture or anything.
We've never heard of that before. If it did, like I don't know, maybe it healed pretty instantly. Very interesting. I would love to hear more about that. Possibly I can see us hearing more about it eventually.
Certainly. I think like this is falling back on a little bit. I don't have a ton of experience in these sorts of genres, but I did watch Smallville, which had Superman, a very young Clark Kent, and he had, kryptonite was kind of his weakness. And there were times where he would get sick. And I think it's really interesting getting to see the kind of the hero of the story fall ill for an episode, especially when she now has to be hospitalized. Giles and Buffy's mom are both called. They arrive and they want to know what's going on. They're not allowed back there. The doctor comes out and says, don't worry, she's going to be fine, but I do want to keep her here for a few days. She still has some healing to do. Obviously, this is an issue because for one, Buffy is a Slayer, and who's going to be slaying in her absence. Again, we don't have a union to figure this out. And for two, she is very delirious. And Sarah, she just is like, this is like her version of being drunk, except it's like drugged up. And she just starts spouting off about vampires.
This is what I fondly call the silly slippies, where you are in a delirious state, whether it be you're sick or drunk, and you get very silly and you get very slippy. And she got a case of the silly slippies, and she did the vampires, and everybody had to like, gaslight her, or like kind of be like, there's no vampires, or they went along with it. Like, yes, the vampires. Mm-hmm. Must be the fever. She's going delirious.
And I was very suspicious when they immediately poke her with a sedative. Mm. And I thought on first watch that this was like, oh, they injected her with something that's going to not necessarily make her worse, but like make her able to see Freddy Krueger later in the episode.
Yeah. I mean, I see this all the time whenever somebody in media, when somebody is having an incident and they're like, you know, we have to calm them down and then be like sedate them with needles. I'm assuming this happens in real life. I've never come across this. I just saw this in the show Better Call Saul. And that's like S-A-U-L, Jess. I don't know if you've heard
about it. I've seen the show, Sarah. I've seen all the shows you're watching years ago. Yes, I've heard of Better Call Saul. Yes.
Yeah, there's this character called Chuck, or like Charles. It is Jimmy McGill's brother, which I don't know if you know this, but Jimmy McGill and Saul Goodman are the same person.
I hope there's so many people just like screaming at their phones right now.
I mean, why would they? I'm only speaking facts.
So Buffy's not happy. She has to stay in the hospital, but she's not doing well, so they're gonna have to keep her there. And we find out a little bit of history with Buffy. When she was 8, her cousin Celia died in a hospital, and Buffy was alone with her at that time.
That was very traumatic. I don't know if it was this point, but the flashback, number one, they did terrible casting with
me. I was gonna say the same thing. That girl did not look nothing like Sarah Michelle Gellar.
They're like, okay, they had one job, pick a blonde. That's your one job. And they're like, you over there, brunette, you can be Buffy. It's like, did we just find this girl on the WB lot? Like, is she just a rando, like, cater waiter's daughter? Like, who is this? But yeah, that was a very traumatic scene. I am not surprised that Buffy is traumatized by this whole incident, because she was her cousin was in the hospital, and she's the only one there, and she's like, Celia, like, I'm coming. And then Celia is on her back staring into the ether, screaming at the top of her lungs, and Buffy's like, what's wrong with you? Hello. I mean, I would be terrified.
It's super traumatizing. Of course she doesn't like hospitals after this.
I mean, nobody likes, I don't know one person that's like, I like hospitals. I've never really had to stay at a hospital I've never stayed at a hospital overnight. Never. Not once. Have you? I don't think so.
I don't think so. No.
Yeah. So nobody, the only thing that I would be excited about for the hospital is like, I don't know, like the room service, but I can just...
No, the food is probably atrocious.
No, I mean, some hospitals. I just want the room service. And if I just want room service, then I should just go to a hotel.
So we get this interesting scene between Giles and Joyce, where Joyce is like, oh, I'm, you know, Buffy told me about Miss Callender, and I'm really, really sorry. Buffy said you were close. And Joyce has noticed that Buffy has been like off since that whole thing happened, because apparently she never gets sick, which feels like a Slayer thing that like she's so healthy that she never gets sick.
I agree.
And this was a little bit of a nice moment. Again, why is Joyce nice to everyone except Buffy? This is just like bullshit.
I mean, that's what some mothers do. They put on a front to everybody except their own child.
Allegedly. Yes. Giles leaves, and I love Cordelia. Cordelia's concern is just like, I don't know about this hospital. My friend came in here and she went in looking like she wanted to get like a nose job or something. Mm-hmm. And she came out looking like Mr. Potato.
That's bad. That's bad. That means that she did not do her research when she was picking out a plastic surgeon.
Yeah. And the biggest concern for the Scoobies, not really Cordelia, but everyone else, is that Buffy is alone here and she's in a hospital, meaning it's a public place and Angel can get to her because you know, it's a public place. He's allowed to enter it. And so obviously this is a huge concern. Like, she needs round the clock people in this room because she's not strong enough to fight him off. And she is in a public space. He could come in and out, boom, kill her instantly, done. There's a slayer gone. So in my mind, I'm like, okay, we need to have people posted the fuck up, keeping an eye out for Angel at all times. Crosses galore, garlic necklaces. Like, everybody needs to be decked out.
It doesn't seem very sanitary for a hospital.
Garlic?
Yeah, I don't know. But yeah, I mean, yeah, it is.
Gotta eat.
She's exposed. She is vulnerable. So yeah. I think that they kind of take shifts throughout the episode hanging out at the hospital. I mean, does this hospital not have visiting hours? Anybody can be here any time of day.
I suppose so. I mean, I think family theoretically could be there longer, but Buffy Joyce has these
excuses not to.
Joyce is like, fuck that, I'm going home to sleep.
She's like, I gotta go to the gallery.
Yeah. So Buffy's like, has this weird vision nightmare situation. She sees this little boy, again, shades of the annoying one, and she sees like this Freddy Krueger like guy walking by her room. And then this is when we also get the flashback of when her cousin dies. And so she follows the little boy and she hears two doctors talking about like all of these kids. They're in the children's ward and like all these kids are not really responding to like the normal treatment. And it's not going well, basically. And so we're led to believe that, like, okay, the older male doctor is now suspicious as a result mm-hmm. of this thing. And I, meanwhile, was suspicious of the other doctor because the other doctor was the one that poked what? Buffy with the syringe. But
the other doctor is just a respectable black doctor who is doing the work in medicine. She could be like Elena's, like, you know, mentor. Don't be rude. She was amazing.
Who the hell's Elena?
From the other show.
Oh, from Felicity. I'm like, in my mind, I'm like, was there an Elena this episode?
I mean, yeah, Elena. Oh. Don't you remember?
Ay, ay, ay. So Buffy leaves, but she does see the little boy. And it's so creepy. He's like, he comes at night. The grownups don't see him. He was with Tina. He'll come back for us. And when she asks who, he says, death. So see, he's like basically like the Grim Reaper.
Essentially, yeah. Except he only targets kids, it seems. Mm-hmm. I found it very funny that because Buffy's technically a minor, she got forced into the pediatric unit. It's yeah. What was the movie where somebody went to the doctor, like some guy went to the doctor and he was like asking questions about his like nether regions. And the doctor was like, blah, blah, blah. Like, this is like a pediatric, like I'm a pediatric doctor.
Oh, you need an adult doctor.
And then the shop pulls out and he's like sitting on a fire truck.
Was it like, was it
a virgin or some one of those shows?
No. Was it platonic? I feel like it was something.
No.
I don't know. It was something. Anyway, Xander is on guard. I will give some credit to Xander. He stands up to Angel because Angel comes to visit with some white roses and he wants to like go in and take care of Buffy. But Xander's like, listen, look at all these people. Like, do you really want to like cause that big of a commotion? Because you can, but I'm going to make a commotion about it. And Xander gets Angel to back down. And I got to say, I was a little impressed about this. Now, he looked like he was going to shit himself while the whole thing happened, but he did it. He got Angelus to go the fuck away.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of like that. Xander at times has swag, and this is a swaggy time where I feel like
we're pushing it with the term swag.
I think we're just one half of this podcast will never say a nice thing about Xander.
I just gave him credit. I just said nice things about him like 2 seconds ago.
I didn't hear it.
Oh my gosh. He did say m'lady like the scene after. Just needed to point that out.
Okay. Okay, Jess.
He m'lady'd.
Credit where credit's due. He got Angel to back off, and he did.
Yeah. So the Scoobies come and visit, and Cordelia doesn't understand that when you visit someone in the hospital that you're supposed to bring them something nice.
Yeah, I mean, give me my flowers, give me my sweet treats, like, bring me a card. If you show up at the hospital empty-handed, then you can just walk away. Mm-hmm. I only accept presents.
Yeah, not very nice. Not very nice of Cordelia, but Buffy's doing better. The doctor is very surprised at how quickly she's healing. She's not ready to send Buffy home just yet, even though Buffy is very, very eager to get the hell out of there. But Buffy brings up that, like, something is going on, like, death is coming after children. And this is so fascinating because Cordelia, in a not so great way, right? Like, as Giles says, she's a little tactless in the delivery. She's like, are you sure that this is not just you wanting to think something like supernatural is happening because of your past trauma with hospitals? Like, could that be what it is? I mean, I'm with Cordelia. Of course, I was thinking something similar. I'm like, is this not like some mental thing going on versus actually something happening?
Miss Cordelia took Psych 101 as an elective, and now she thinks that she is, you know, a armchair expert.
Yeah. I mean, she has a point that, like, Buffy could want to create this monster because she's feeling helpless, and she wants something to do. She wants to be able to save someone. The rest of the Scoobies seem like they're a little bit more apt to believe her. I mean, again, Hellmouth, people. We are on Hellmouth.
Yeah, we have to believe women. And Buffy is saying that she sees, or she sees a creepy demon monster. Mm-hmm. And there's plenty to go around in Sunnydale, for real. So they're kind of doing research. I do love that Cordelia buddied up with Giles this time around. And she did some excellent research. And I really liked how much, like, how interested she was in all of it.
Yeah, she's asking questions. Giles is getting very, very irritated with her. He was not happy to be paired with Cordelia. And I don't really blame him, considering his normal partner is Willow, who loves research and is, like, really good at it and doesn't ask questions that Giles is like, when they're in, it's crunch time. He doesn't have time to explain. But before that even happens, we get a different pairing of Cordelia and Xander, who are trying to go in, like, the pediatrics ward, and a very familiar face, Sarah, who I was like, is he going to be involved in, like, bad things? Because I recognize this guy, Stanford from Sex and the City.
Yeah, it was so nice to see him. We, of course, saw this actor in a bunch of episodes of Boy Meets World. And then,
yes, Willie Garson.
Willie, thank you. I was trying to pull the name. I knew his name was Willie, but I kept thinking Willie Nelson. I'm like, that is not right, Sarah. That's not right. So I was like trying to get, and sadly he, like, passed away, but yeah, he was in Sex and the City. He was in a bunch of episodes of Boy Meets World. I'm pretty sure we saw him in something else as well that we covered, but I'm not remembering what it was what it is at the moment. But yeah, it was so fun seeing him at so young, still no hair, but so young,
very young. Yeah,
and it was really delightful to see him in this episode. And I thought that Cordelia flirting with him to try to get information was amazing. I loved it.
Your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with the Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, the Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly, but then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Yeah, so she's like trying to get his attention so that Xander can sneak out with the files. And she does, again, Cordelia maybe isn't the best at researching and studying things, but she does know how to manipulate people. And so that it comes in handy. And of course, as Xander's like, oh, did you have to like get so close to him? It's like, motherfucker, she saved your ass. Like, stop it. Stop it right now. And I don't really blame Cordelia. She's getting, again, like, I think, how do I want to put this? Cordelia is acting jealous, but in my opinion, I feel like she's in her own right to feel that way based on how Xander acts around Buffy. So Cordelia's like upset that he is being like obsessed with protecting Buffy and she's not happy with it. But at the same time, Buffy is in grave danger because she is ill in a public place where Angel can easily get to her. So, Sarah, what was your take on Cordelia's jealousy?
It kind of reminded me of Dawson's jealousy regarding Joey and Pacey in terms of, like, I don't think typically Cordelia is a super jealous person, but one thing that does irk her is when it comes to Buffy. And I think that the fact that, like, I think she'll always have that insecurity with Xander because she'll always know that in some way she was Xander's second choice. And I think, like, it's always going to be like a little like bug in her ear that's going to bother her, in my opinion.
Yeah, I can see this being a problem just for them and their relationship moving forward, because again, like, one could interpret Xander's protection over Buffy as platonic, right? It is his best friend, like one of his best friends. Of course he's going to feel protective.
Yeah.
But there's a history there of Xander having feelings for Buffy. And I don't think Cordelia likes this. Like, and it is very teenagery, right? It's very juvenile. It feels juvenile. But yeah, she's not so happy with it. And she's like, you know what? Fine. I'll go bring these files to Giles and you stay here with Buffy. Buffy, meanwhile, is visiting Ryan, the little boy that she saw before. And she asks him, like, you know, and so she says, like, oh, I already have what you have, which is like you were talking about before, some, again, a disease we don't ever really get a label on. But he's drawing a picture of the of death who comes to take the children. And it's like, again, it's this Freddy Krueger looking motherfucker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's spooky. I don't like him. No, and I really don't like what he does.
No, yeah, it's not nice. It's not not great. And Willow and Giles, meanwhile, are doing research, and they think that there could be something to the older man doctor, that like he's been in trouble in the past, like controversial experiments and risky procedures, on and on and on. But it turns out that he's actually not bad. Like he's trying to save the children, and he gets killed by Freddy Krueger, who, again, the adults don't see him, so he's like invisible to the adults, and he gets like hacked and slashed basically and like dragged away. And this is very wild because, again, like you can't, Buffy just gets shoved by like an invisible thing.
Yeah. So I'm curious. So like, does this guy, does he prefer to eat children, or is it just like the most convenient thing at this pediatric hospital? Because it makes it sound like it's not very common for him to go after like adults.
Yeah, that's a good question. It could be, it's either like he's a sicko who gets off on like murdering kids.
Yeah.
Or maybe if he's eating them, maybe they just like taste better because it's like fresh meat.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But you'd think he'd go after adults because there's just more meat on the bone, you know?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, it's kind of like people that like eat veal over beef. Some people like that shit.
Yeah. So, yeah, at least now Giles and the other Scoobies believe Buffy because they have a dead body on their hands, you know? And Buffy's like, listen, he's dead. Like, he killed him. Not great. He was shredded because of the, you know, weird claw, like, whatever the hell's. And the weirdest thing is that the kid, the girl, Tina, that had died, was, like, showing signs of improvement, and then suddenly she just died.
That is sad. Poor, poor little girl. Mm-hmm. I mean, once again, if I was a parent, I would not be bringing my kid to a hospital within Hellmouth. No.
Yeah, and Buffy is going to get released from the hospital, but of course now she wants to stay because she needs to figure out what's going on here, so yada, yada, yada. Were you surprised to find out that Willow wasn't playing doctor correctly as a
child? Okay, quote unquote, not correctly. Like,
she was playing like a kid, not like the, ooh, I'm going to touch you here sort of vibe.
Yeah, I'll show you mine if you'll show me yours sort exactly. of thing.
Yeah,
I mean, there's two types of doctors in the world, and she mm-hmm. was not the spicy doctor.
Yeah. And this is when Cordelia and Giles get stuck together because Xander is on guard duty. It's Buffy and Willow are like have to look through the doctor's stuff to see if they can find any evidence or anything that would lead them to finding this Freddy Krueger motherfucker. I enjoyed the Giles and Cordelia dynamic. I would like to see more of them together.
I really like it too. And I know that Giles is like very serious and he has like his own system for research, but I would have been like very endeared to have Cordelia asking me questions like, what does this one do? What does that one do? Like, you know, and he got like very irritated with her and kind of got snippy because he's like, I don't have time for this. You're talking too much. You're interrupting me too much. But lo and behold, Cordelia was the one that found the actual demon monster. So got to give it props to Cordelia. When Cordelia has been put in the spot of research, she's always done a good job.
I'm with you. I think Giles is very much eyes on the prize in terms of we need to get down to business. I don't have time to answer your questions. Like the way he treats her is like she's some 5-year-old just asking why? Like it's annoying to him, which is funny for us to get to watch. And my favorite line is when she says, oh, what does that one do? And he goes, it asks endless questions of those with whom it's supposed to be working so that nothing is getting done. And she goes, boy, there's a demon for everything. It's just, it's really funny. I think that Giles is someone who doesn't necessarily see the value in Cordelia yet. I do think he will. I think every person in the Scoobies has their strengths in different departments. Cordelia's is not research. And like, you're right. She did find the picture on the book of the Freddy Krueger monster. So she did help. I just think Giles is used to working with someone like Willow, who will ask questions. But I imagine, Sarah, most of the time spent between Willow and Giles is like silently flipping through pages, like trying to do the research. They're not talking as much as Cordelia would probably want to be chatting while they're working.
Yes, I suppose. I mean, I'm just going to defend Cordelia and just say she was doing a good job.
Of course. And here's the thing, too. Giles works in a school. He needs to have patience for all sorts of students. Not everyone is a Willow. Not everyone is a Buffy. You know what I mean? Like, you're going to have to figure out how to work with other people. And for as much as he criticizes Cordelia for not having tact, Giles doesn't have much patience.
No.
And so I think, not saying like dilly-dally and waste time, but I think if you give Cordelia instruction, I feel like she takes instruction pretty well. So she's like, listen, I love Cordelia. I am here to defend her because I love what she brings to the table. I think she provides certain specialties that the other Scoobies don't have, namely the people, like being able to manipulate people into getting what she wants.
Skills. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So that I did love that scene. And I do hope we get more of Giles and Cordelia together because I was tickled by their interactions. And also, can I just say, because I slid past it at the beginning of the episode, but like, please, can we stop dressing Cordelia like she's a 40-year-old real estate agent? It's honestly getting under my skin so much because we've talked about this before. You know, Willow gets treated like she dresses at Oshkosh Bagosh, and it's like they don't know how, they're not age appropriate. Willow's dressed like she's 10. Cordelia's dressed like she's 40. Buffy is like the only one who actually gets to wear like cute outfits that are age appropriate.
I think what Cordelia is, what they're trying to do with her is like a Cher Horowitz or like Heathers type of thing where it's like,
oh,
it's like, I think they're trying to do sets, in my opinion, like some sort
I
of
see
like
what you're
preppy,
saying.
Preppy, yeah. Like,
but it doesn't work as well. Like, it's not.
No, because it's not. It doesn't have like a fun pattern like the plaid. I mean, actually, the Heathers had plaid too. It's just not. It reads old and not like schoolgirl, essentially.
And I think it's also possibly because she sticks out so much because no one else is dressed like that. Like, it doesn't look like it is. Oh, this is just the popular thing to be wearing at the time. Like, that's, in my opinion, what Buffy looks like she's dressed as.
Yeah. Well, I mean, are Cordelia's like minions wearing stuff like that?
I feel like we've only seen them a few times and I don't think so. I feel like they were dressed a little bit more casually. Like,
where's
it's just, it's
like Melody. Was that her name?
Yeah. Melody. Yeah. It feels like Cordelia is always dressed in business casual and it's like, you're going to school.
Yeah. Well, some people dress in business casual when they went to
school.
I mean, we are the generation that literally wore business casual out to the clubs.
Oh gosh.
So our peplum and our blazers. Yeah. We had to rage out there.
Terrible, terrible.
Yeah, it
is. So So Buffy and Willow get the marching orders from Giles, and Buffy, again, like, it's not just these children that she's met that she's, you know, the reason that she's doing this. It's also the thought of her cousin dying, and like, she knows it must have been this Freddy Krueger guy. And so she is like, no, I need to fix this. We need to do this right now. And so her idea is to take the serum that induces a fever so that she can see the Freddy Krueger monster and kill him. However,
I get it.
The problem is you're going to make yourself sick. You're giving yourself a fever and you're not going to be as good of a fighter. I feel like she'd be better off trying to fight something invisible at full health than,
She can't even see it. I feel that this made a lot of sense logically. I think, like, thank goodness for Willow, because Willow is like, no, you have to dilute it in water. You're going to give yourself a dose that's going to kill you. So thank goodness for Willow. And I think it works. She sees the monster. She eventually destroys the monster. I forget how. Yeah.
Well, he has nasty fingers, first of all.
I can't talk about it.
Big salad fingers vibes.
Oh, yeah. Really long fingers. He takes the kid's souls by, like, giant eyeball things coming out of his eyes.
Oh, I hated that. That was my least favorite part. Is that his eyeballs come out and, like, they're, like, tentacles.
Yeah.
And he has a, is it an underbite when the bottom teeth go up?
Yeah.
Yeah, he has a really bad underbite. And yeah, his little tentacle
work. Yeah,
his tentacle eyeballs, like, attach onto the kids' heads. It's fucking disgusting.
Yeah. Burn it with fire.
Please, please get rid of it. But luckily, Buffy to the rescue. Willow is able to get the security guards tricked into getting her instead of Buffy by being like, oh my God, frogs, get them off me. Is this the second time that we've heard that she...
At least. She has a thing with frogs.
This is fascinating.
Yeah. This is like almost like me in Swarms.
Yes. And it makes me wonder if we have, like, if there's something in Willow's past we have not yet heard about that involves frogs that was, like, traumatizing.
Yeah, probably a venture to Hebrew sleepaway camp, Jewish sleepaway camp, and having, like, she probably, like, woke up to, like, some mean kids, like, pouring a shit ton of frogs on her bed.
I guess so. It's possible.
Something like that. Do you have any, like, irrational fear?
Kind of. It feels more rational than irrational. I don't know. So two things that I, like, absolutely fucking hate with a fiery passion. One is leeches. Ooh. And it's the idea that they suck out your blood that grosses me out so much. I don't know that I've ever even, like, encountered a leech, but the idea of one, maybe that's why, because I, like, it's just the idea of it.
Yeah, leeches are kind of like quicksand. Like, we were very exposed to leeches as a generation, but we're all afraid of it, but we've never seen it.
Yeah. And the other one, which I do have experience with, are ticks. And the reason I am like, I do not like ticks is, number one, I don't like the fact that they, like, burrow underneath your skin. That, like, skeeves me out in such a big way. And number two, because it is such a problem in terms of, like, if you have pets, like, it's really difficult because you have to make sure they're not on them and they could get Lyme disease. And, like, so it's more, that one is more grounded in, like, rational reality. Like, there's a reason why I am so afraid of them. But I will say, it stems from an irrational place. Like, I can logic out why I'm scared of them, but it doesn't, it stems from a place of irrational fear, because when I was a kid, I don't know about anybody else, but I feel like I have a kind of a lumpy head. Like, just in general, right? I used to be terrified that I would get a tick on my head and it would, like, burrow and I wouldn't be able to see it because it's on my head. And so, I don't know, like, I also have a dry scalp, so I tend to, like, scratch it. And so I'm sometimes there are just, like, bumps, right? And I remember one time asking my parents, can you just look and make sure it's not a tick? Like, I'm really scared that there's a tick. And one of them, I don't remember which one, was like, oh, it's a tick. I started sobbing. It was not a tick. It was just like a scab or a bump or something. It was nothing. I started sobbing because I was so scared there was a tick on my head. So, like, yes, it comes from a, like, irrational place, but, like, there are reasons that, like, you know, I don't like ticks, and it's because they're prevalent where I live. They were really bad this last, like, winter when it was still freezing. I found one on my dog. Yes. Like, crazy. And of course, now we have a dog who is black, so they're harder to see on him.
No.
So we just have to be really careful, you know, like, keep your grass short and check your pets for ticks, you know?
Okay. Thank you.
Anyway, there's my PSA on ticks. Yeah. I hate them so much.
Yeah. And you can avoid having your pets get taken up by ticks because we are now sponsored by NextGuard. NextGuard.com/shit90shows for $10 off your pet needs.
Have you heard of so now they have chewables that it's not just Flea and Tick. It's like Flea and Tick, Heartguard, and everything else all in one.
Yeah, I have heard about that. You too can get that for $10 off if you just go to the website and enter in our code.
I will say, if you have a dog that likes to swim or get like wet in the summer, topical Flea and Tick is not going to do it. You need to get the edible ones for them.
Absolutely. For
$10.
Yeah, for $10 off, use our code.
I wish we were sponsored. So yeah, back to the show. So kicky kicky, punchy punchy. This guy is like really beating up on Buffy. He's about to like suck her face off with his nasty tentacle eyeballs. Mm-hmm. But she pulls an Angelus and just snaps his neck.
Yeah, that's a way to do it.
Love to see that. Also, can I just say, even Buffy's hospital attire is like more chic than anything anybody else wears.
Yeah, this is like when have you ever seen those like really uppity hospital gowns that people buy when they give birth? And yes. There's like in which like I've bought like my friend Dina one of those fancy hospital gowns when she gave birth to my goddaughter. And if I ever give birth to a child, I too want a fancy hospital gown. And they come in sets. They're like hospital gowns, like nightgowns, robes, like matching like baby and me sets. It's like a whole thing.
I have seen this because I follow some like YouTube vloggers who've had kids. So there's like always those like what I packed in my hospital bag and like, you know, what I didn't need in my hospital bag, you know, all that stuff.
Was it like fancy hospital gowns?
I definitely think she had like a robe and slippers, but like slippers kind of make sense to me if you're going to be there for like a day or two and you don't want to have to like put your nasty feet on the nasty hospital floor.
She needs slippers.
But I'm not a robe person. So I don't know. I get out of the shower. I'm either getting dressed or I'm putting on my pajamas. Like that's it. There's no in between stage, you know?
Perfect. You don't like sit out in your towel for 90 minutes?
No. Do you do that?
Yeah, I love that.
Interesting. I put my hair up in like a towel for 90 minutes, but I don't. Mm. No. I want to be done with it. I think we've talked about this. I'm not a like 30 minute shower person. I am a get in, get out, get your business done, move on with your day.
Mm. It's because you're a never nude.
Yes, just being in the shower makes me uncomfortable with myself. I have to be clothed. No, it's business. Because it's especially when you're taking like an everything shower, it's like, oh my fucking God, I've been in here for ages. I hate it.
I mean, I'm in it for the long haul. I have my tunes. I listen to music or an audio book.
Mm-hmm. Average shower length? Like, okay, let's say it's an everything shower. So you're washing your hair, you're shaving your legs, like the whole routine. How long is it taking you?
I don't know. I mean, my average shower is about 5 songs long.
Your average shower is 5 songs long. So that's what, like 15-ish minutes? Because it's like 3 minutes a song.
Yeah. I don't think I'm in there for longer than 30 or 40, maybe. I'm not quite sure.
40?
I don't know.
Christ.
I
feel like even an everything shower for me is under 20 for sure.
I have things to do. I have like, I mean, I'm like bopping. I have my music on.
So most of the time you're not actually like doing the shower activities.
I have like 4 different soaps.
4 soaps?
Yeah.
Why? What are these?
Five soaps.
Five soaps. Wait, okay. Are you using all of them in one shower or are you rotating typically. Them? Depending? Okay, let me try to guess. Let me try to guess. Don't tell me. So we have face wash. Are you counting that as a soap? Okay.
Yeah, sure.
You have your face wash.
Yeah.
You have like maybe some sort of exfoliator.
Oh, I do have that, but I don't use it every day. But yeah, I have that too.
Okay. A body wash.
Yes.
Okay, you're not counting shampoo and conditioner, all of that, and soaps. Okay. What other kind of soap would you need?
A bar soap. I have a bar soap.
But why are you using bar soap over like the body wash?
No, I use both.
Is it just in different areas you're using them? Like, you're like, oh, I only do this on my arms.
I just double dose. And then I have...
You do both? Like, you're like, my body is not clean enough yet. I need to double soap.
Yeah, and then I have a soap for privates.
Okay.
And then I have a soap that is, like, medicated for, like, back knee or, like...
Okay, this
like
makes
that.
Sense. Yeah.
So, okay. Yeah, that's all my soaps.
Do you want to know how many soaps I use?
One.
No, I have a face soap. So I use two. I use two. One body wash and one face soap. But I did get, so I will say, to level up your like bathing experience, because I'm anti-loofah because number one, it holds in bacteria. Number two, they're not good for the environment. So I have like one of those rubbery bristles.
Yeah, I've tried that. I hated it.
I love it. And I got another one recently that's on it's not a stick, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you can do your back with it. Oh, it's great. Yeah.
I didn't like it. I don't care. I'll kill the environment. I was a vegetarian for 10 years. It's fine.
You've saved enough lives.
I've saved enough lives.
What about, do you use the like rubber...
I have that
scalp massager.
I have that.
Mm-hmm. I have a very dry scalp, so I need to use one.
What else do I have? Obviously I have shampoo and conditioner. Obviously, I mean, I have like so many things. So many fun stuff.
Interesting. Yeah, because as annoying as my routine is in terms of like I do have curly hair, so I do like the curly girl method of sorts. I'm really like not extra about it. I just want to be out of there. I want to be
done. I'm not extra either.
I don't think that's accurate in general.
You know,
anyway,
I mean, is there anything else to say about this Buffy episode? Because I really can't.
No, I've had more enjoyment out of talking about soap than I have about watching this episode. The one thing I did want to ask is what you thought of Buffy's like sickness meal. So her mom makes her honey. No, never mind. I misread the captions as honey PB&J, but it's just she's calling her honey.
Honey, would you like a PB&J?
Yeah, it's PB&J without the crust.
Yeah.
And two parts orange, one part grapefruit.
That sounds delicious. Yeah, her juice selection sounds very good. I mean, I had a PB&J today. I'm like so pro PB&J.
I love PB&J, but what is your jelly of choice?
Typically strawberry.
Okay, I'm a fan. Yeah, I don't like grape jelly.
Nobody likes grape jelly unless you're a...
No, but I do... If you ever want to, like, level up your jelly game, go to, like, Home Goods or Marshall's. Get one of those, like, fancy jams. It'll make you feel great.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, put it on a Chakoots board. Good to go.
Yeah, I like fig.
I don't know if I'm a fan of fig.
I like... Or dates. I think dates. Maybe.
What are you, 80 dates?
I like dates. They're good.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, that's Killed by Death. That's the episode. It was fine. It's whatever. It's just like Monster of the Week. And it's just like, it felt like pointless. Like, I don't know that we did anything. You know what I mean? What did we learn? Yeah. Nothing. What did we do? Nothing.
Yeah. I've learned nothing. I've done nothing.
Exactly. Like, what was the point of that? I mean, it was nothing. Again, I'm not like offended by it, but also like, whatever.
Yeah. It's a bottom tier episode.
Yeah, and I didn't need to see Tentacle Face either. Like that was not.
I didn't like him. I didn't like him much.
No. Do you want to hear what next week's episode is called?
Yes.
I only have eyes for you.
I only have eyes. I do think. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, okay. So, what do you think? It's probably just Angel being like a fuckery again.
Probably. I think it would be more cool if like there was a baddie that had like a zillion eyes or something, but it probably is
like
just
a bug.
Angel. Like a bug. We did a lot of bug stuff though.
So many bugs.
Lots of bugs. Yeah, I don't know. Whatever. We'll see. Season 2, episode 19. We're barreling towards the finale.
Well, that's exciting.
Mm-hmm. So we have I Only Have Eyes for You, and then we have one more episode, which I've been told is a dud. And then we have the finale, which just to let people know ahead of time in case, you know, for their own scheduling purposes, we are going to be covering parts 1 and 2 of the finale in just one podcast. So
I did not know that. Cool.
In case people want to plan for that.
Yeah. Okay, I have a challenge. if Go okay. Fish is so bad, is there a reality where we can just like fuck around and like not say one bad thing about Go Fish the entire time and just like stan it hard?
Ooh, you want us to stan the episode hard?
Yeah.
I see. I don't know if I can promise that, because what if Xander is truly atrocious in it? Then I'm going to have a hard time.
I'm fine being delusional and living in my Delulu life and just staying.
Maybe we need to take after Drululu and just, okay, let's give ourselves a challenge. That's 2 weeks from now. So we have time to mentally prepare.
We can very well be the biggest Go Fish fans that have ever seen the parts of Buffy.
It's possible.
Yeah, they're saying that this is the worst episode of all time. Go
no, ahead. I don't think people have said it's the worst episode of all time.
I'm ready to fuck around and find out, you know, but I guess not next week.
Not next week. That's 2 weeks from now. Yeah. Okay. So we'll have to wait and see. But that was Killed by Death, a very meh episode of Buffy. Hopefully next week's is better.
No feedback.
Well, that's the thing. They have no feedback because people didn't even care about this episode enough to send them feedback. That's how meh it was. At least the bad episodes, people are like, this was so bad. Like this one, they're just like, who gives a fuck?
Yeah. I mean, I don't. That's all.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, that's it for Buffy this week. We're covering Felicity. We're doing the same shit as always. You know, I don't want to do. Can we just I just want to make a thing now. I just want to make a PSA. I'm always going to be talking about Schitt's Creek over on Talking Shit, and we're always going to be talking about Felicity here. And I just don't feel the need to say the same things over and over again when people know where to find me. If you're like this far into our coverage of Buffy, you know where to find me. I don't need to tell you every week. Can we just agree to, we're going to agree that you're all going to go to subscribe to all those podcasts so that I don't have to say this again.
Yeah, totally.
Okay, perfect. Also give us 5 stars because we really would like that.
If you feel like it.
If you feel like it, no pressure. It would make our day. And I would read your reviews aloud if you sent them in, because that's how gracious we are.
That's so nice.
Mm-hmm. Send us in feedback if you want. You don't have to, but if you want. If Go Fish is that bad, send us in feedback about it. Mm-hmm. Anything else from you, Sarah? Anything else you want to talk about? You're loving your new car. I feel like we talked about that on Felicity, not on here. So you did get a new car in case
got a new car. Too afraid to drive it, so...
No, you are. Oh, I'm sorry. That sucks. Have you driven it at all?
I've driven it. I just like, if I'm like going out and about, I take our other car. Mm-hmm. Adam went out tonight. He's in like in a pickleball tournament or something like that.
Oh, fun.
He joined a pickleball league.
He's and pickleballing.
He took a new car.
Yeah. So, okay. Yeah. Well, that's fun.
Yeah. So no, but I'm really excited about my new car.
Yeah. So that's good.
Yeah.
It's a nice new car. It's a hybrid. Saving the planet. See, you don't need to worry about, what were we talking? Oh, the loofahs. You're saving the planet with your car.
Yeah. I'll take the microplastics. I'm fine by it.
All right. Let us know how many soaps you use. And we'll talk to you all next time. Until then, here endeth the lesson. Just ask. Shit 90 shows taught me.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
While the world whizzes by, enjoy a moment of me time with Tim Horton's $6 breakfast bundle. Savor a small hot or iced coffee, then add your choice of a mouthwatering hot breakfast sandwich and a crispy golden hash brown and your pick of a classic donut.
Yeah.
All for $6, all just for you. Make your mornings all about me time with our $6 breakfast bundle, available at your neighborhood Tim Horton's. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.